Down and Nearly Out. Written by Itzy Allure. Read by Sweaters in the Summer. Summary. A story told over several evenings out, during which Harry Potter rapidly becomes obsessed with Draco Malfoy for a whole new reason. In his defense, everyone loves a crop top. All right, mate, let's go out. Ron looks at Harry from his side of the desk in the office they share as Rookie orders. I can't stand the sight of your gloomy face any longer. Out? Where? The pub? Harry does not feel like going out tonight. Sure, anywhere, as long as it gets your mind off my sister. Harry and Ginny broke up 2 months ago. Apparently, it hadn't even been that serious, but Harry's been depressed ever since it ended. He'd been counting on so much. A life together. A future. A family. Becoming part of Ginny's for real, as well as the one they would surely have together. But when it came down to it, Ginny wasn't interested in those things. I'm 16, she laughed. Honestly, did you think this was going to be some epic love story? Harry, this was only ever going to be losing our virginities and getting drunk on stolen wine and hopefully still being friends after because you're basically like my brother. Harry had been blindsided by this. He'd thought for sure this was it. The war was over. He was starting his shiny new career as an oar with his best friend by his side. He would marry Ron's sister and join their family and life would be perfect. Except it wasn't. He no longer has Ginny. He hates being an oar, hates the endless rules and regulations, the tight red uniform which chafes. All he knows how to do is shoot himself at a problem like an arrow loosed from a bow, winging it as he goes along. This is nothing like how he'd imagined it would be. Let's Almione and see if she wants to go out too, Ron suggests. He and Hermione had broken up over the summer as well, but he didn't seem bothered by it the way Harry was. Hermione also seems fine. They'd remained friends. It's like the passionate kiss at the end of the Battle of Hogwarts never happened, or maybe that it just hadn't meant anything. Harry doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand any of it. All right, fine, he sighs. It would be nice to see Hermione. They meet up at a muggle bar that's doing an 80s night, Hermione's suggestion. She's become friends with Pansy Parkinson, of all people, after they'd both gotten jobs at Gringotts after leaving school. Apparently, this is Pansy's spot. They've gone out dancing here before, and it's loads of fun. Although Hermione has been talking up Pansy for months now, it's the first time Harry has seen her since the war. Pansy apologizes immediately upon seeing him. Harry shrugs, embarrassed. He doesn't blame her for suggesting that they offer him up to Voldemort. He'd offered himself up to him in the end, after all. What Harry doesn't anticipate, but in hindsight probably should have, is that Pansy's still friends with her fellow Slytherins, and they're here as well. Harry doesn't comprehend what he's seeing at first when he spots him in the crowd. A tall guy with shoulder-length hair so blonde it's almost white, dancing to the supremely cheesy song with an impossibly even taller bloke. Harry squints. He reminds him of someone. He feels a punch through his gut as he realizes who he's reminded of and why. Realizes he's reminded of Draco Malfoy because it is Draco Malfoy. Harry isn't sure who the handsome black guy is that Malfoy's smiling up at, his long, pale arms wound around his neck, a beautiful contrast with his partner's night-dark skin. Maybe another of the Slytherins? He couldn't be Muggle with Malfoy's history, but then they are in a Muggle bar. Harry catches himself staring and looks down into the half-drunk pint he's been nursing as he half-listens to Hermione talk about her day. He slugs the rest of it back, grimacing at the bitter aftertaste, and looks back up. Malfoy and the bloke are kissing. Properly snogging, actually, the other man groping at Malfoy's arse as they dance, pulling Malfoy's body flush against his front. Harry doesn't understand the unfamiliar emotion coursing through him as he watches Malfoy sucking on the bloke's tongue. Zabini, that's his name. They were definitely at Hogwarts together. He watches as Malfoy disentangles himself from Zabini, threads their fingers together, leads him from the dance floor with a very Malfoy-esque smirk. It looks different than the one Harry had directed at himself over the years at school. It feels different, too. Harry thinks he kind of wishes Malfoy would look at him like that instead. and he's shocked by the thought. The next time they're all out together, Harry accidentally gets very drunk. Tonight they're at the pub around the corner from the ministry, and it's some kind of quiz night, and they've made it into a drinking game. Harry isn't the only one who's sloshed. Hermione is giggling, her brown eyes sparkling. Pansy's cheeks are very pink. She's laughing open-mouthed as Hermione tells a story about work, something that goes completely over Harry's head because he's not really listening. When Malfoy had arrived earlier, he ignored their group, spending the better part of an hour at the other end of the bar talking to a cute guy with freckles and a shy smile. Malfoy, with his long hair pulled back, showing off the planes of his high cheekbones, the angles of his beautiful face. When did he get so attractive? Harry found himself staring again as Malfoy reached out and brushed the bloke's hair back, petted his chest, leant very close to whisper in his ear. After a few drinks, Malfoy laid down some money, pulled on the hem of his date's jumper, and led him out of the pub. He didn't even bother to stop and say goodbye to Pansy. He hadn't looked at Harry once. "Is he not with Zabini then?" Harry now asks, before he can stop himself. "Draco and Blaze? Gods no," Pansy cackles. "They'd be terrible together. They seem to hook up, oh, once a year or so. Probably when it's been so long they've forgotten. Or they're bored. Probably both." She considers him with a too perceptive gleam in her eye. "Why?" Harry feels discomfort course through him and he shrugs. He wouldn't know how to answer that, even if he wanted to, which he certainly doesn't. But as he orders another beer, he can't stop thinking about her question. When Harry finally recognizes that the unfamiliar feeling he's been sitting with is jealousy, he's speechless. What is he jealous of, exactly? With Cho, seeing her with Cedric first, that had made sense. Something, someone he wanted but couldn't have. He's felt a flavor of it with Ron as well, with the close-knit, loving family that Harry's more than welcome in, but doesn't feel completely part of somehow. Does he want to be with the other bloke? Or does he want to be him? Is there a difference? He's not sure that there is. Harry scowls into his drink and decides he's going home too. Alone, of course. Unlike Malfoy. Why does that thought depress him so much? Instead, he allows Ron to goad him into staying out for another drink, which turns into more, and Harry gets well and truly pissed. He utterly regrets it the next morning, but at least it takes his mind off the mad thoughts about Malfoy. They're all out together again the following week. Harry doesn't know how he allows this to keep happening. Tonight they're at a Muggle gay bar, of all places, on drag night. For the first time, Malfoy gives him a little nod when he sees Harry, which thrills him more than it should. Harry can't stop staring at everything. Malfoy's wearing painted-on, hot pink jeans and a white crop top. The dark mark on his arm is out on display for everyone to see, surrounded by a full sleeve of additional tattoos, curving vines, blue roses, lilies of the valley. He finds he doesn't care about the dark mark. He knows that Draco was coerced, both into taking the mark, as well as everything that came later, trying to protect his family. All this had been so clear as Malfoy had been questioned under Veritas Serum at his trial, Harry lurking in the back of the room in case he was needed to give a statement. Harry'd thought then, watching Malfoy's miserable face as the truth was yanked out of him, and he thinks again now, wouldn't he have made the same decisions if he'd had to, if he'd had parents available to protect? But he can now see the outline of Malfoy's body the way he never could at school, always swathed in bulky robes. Or maybe he'd just simply never noticed. During Quidditch, he was more focused on finding the snitch first, not looking at Malfoy in his kit. Malfoy's also grown up now, with broad shoulders for how lean he is, lightly muscled arms, a flat stomach with an impressive six-pack. Harry sips his drink, some awful fruity concoction that Hermione thrust at him when he arrived. Hermione has her arm slung around Pansy, and they're standing very close. Ron hasn't joined them this time. How is it that Ron is able to skip out and Harry has to be here? Harry resolves not to come next time either. The crowd cheers as a statuesque drag queen draped in a long glittering gown stalks to the front of the catwalk that doubles as a stage. The opening bars of a popular song swell, and she begins belting out the lyrics, twirling the microphone cord around her fingers while she sings, giving little flashes of leg and her tall stilettos as she prowls the edge of the stage. While everyone else watches the performance, Harry watches Malfoy. He's dancing by himself at first, but is quickly swept up into the arms of a burly man wearing a leather waistcoat open over his hairy, well-muscled chest. Malfoy spins around to the music, then drapes himself over the man, who holds him up with grasping hands on his hips. Malfoy weaves his fingers into the belt loops of the man's matching leather trousers. Harry almost growls, then frowns. What is wrong with him? The song finishes. There are whoops and cheers from the crowd. Malfoy and the Leather Daddy are leaving the dance floor in the direction of the loos. Harry finds himself moving, following them. But he's not, right? He just needs to use the loo, surely. As Malfoy pushes the door to the gents open, following the larger man through, Harry pauses. What am I doing? But he's so fucking curious, ingrained to always wonder what Malfoy's up to. Now he's clearly not up to something, but Harry still finds himself longing to follow. Harry downs the awful drink in one big gulp and sets his glass on a table near the swinging door. He enters the toilets. Malfoy and the leather-clad man are pressed up against the mirror on the far wall, snogging. The man has a meaty hand clamped possessively over the front of Malfoy's pink jeans. Malfoy is frotting up into it, head lolling onto the man's big shoulder, his cheeks flushed and lovely. Harry just stands and stares. The man looks up. Maybe he feels Harry's eyes on him. "Your friend can join," he leers. Malfoy looks up as well, sees Harry, sneers. "He's not my friend." Harry gets out of there. Alone in his room that night, Harry takes himself in hand for a much-needed wink. He's keyed up and can't relax, thrashing around in his sheets. He curses himself when Malfoy's face comes to mind at once, his unimpressed sneer so familiar. The way he dismissed Harry immediately. Would Harry have joined them? That was preposterous, wasn't it? If Harry is honest, he was curious, but not about the leather-clad man. Not at all. He imagined the leathered bloke leaving, Malfoy turning his attention to Harry, and Harry shoving Malfoy down on his knees and fucking his pretty posh mouth, effectively shutting him up for maybe the first time ever. Harry's orgasm swells instantly. He pumps himself through it, spattering cum all over his ribs and abdomen. He lays back against his pillows, breathing hard. A wandless charm has his stomach cleaned of the mess with half a thought. All his mind can produce is, "Malfoy? Malfoy. Fuck." Harry stops going out after that, but then he'd plan to anyway. It's nothing to do with Malfoy. He stops showing up for work also. He doesn't care if Robards fires him. He hates his job. He lays on the couch all day, watching hours of bad reality television. He stops shaving, stops showering. He stuffs his face with takeaway, eats carton after carton of ice cream until he's not even sure he likes it anymore. Robards does end up sacking him. Not even the savior is exempt from the attendance policy, apparently. Harry's relieved he didn't have to quit himself. Ron and Hermione band forces and stage an intervention. Ron hustles him into the shower, while Hermione puts her wand to work cleaning up the disaster of his flat. They both insist he's coming out right now for a walk in the fresh air, and he's going out with him at the weekend as well. The day at the park is nice, actually. The three of them sit on a blanket, shoes off, toes tucked into the grass. It almost feels like old times. Harry thinks that it should feel better than old times. There's no madman out to get him, no one asking him to sacrifice himself as little more than a child for the greater good. And yet, things still just don't seem to make sense to him. He promises them both that he'll get outside again the next day, and he does. He doesn't want to admit it to Ron and Hermione, but it actually makes him feel better. Harry walks for hours around his corner of London and falls into an exhausted sleep without waking to thoughts of Malfoy for the first time since this entire madness began. Not that it's about Malfoy. It's not entirely. But he's starting to comprehend that it's at least a bit to do with him, too. He repeats this new ritual every day for the rest of the week. The first evening, Ron stops by with a curry from his favorite takeaway spot. The next, Hermione does, with frozen pizzas to bake and a DVD to watch. Harry's so grateful he still has them, that he hasn't chased them away with his moodiness and desperation. But despite their gentle questions, he does not mention his new baffling obsession. On Friday, Harry dresses in his best approximation of going out clothes. Some cleanish jeans, a band t-shirt, his least scuffed Nikes. He can't be bothered to shave entirely, but shoots a quick spell at his face, smoothing the new beard over his cheeks, cleaning up the messy whiskers on his neck. They're going to a Muggle bar again, so he doesn't add the baseball cap he sometimes wears when headed to wizarding locations, trying to hide the telltale scar on his forehead. Ron collects him, and they apparate together, arriving at the gay bar again. Harry wonders in a panic if they've figured out his secret, but finds it's karaoke night, and Hermione's keen to sing. Antsy Pansy, apparently, who throws herself into Hermione's arms and plants a smacking kiss directly on her mouth. Hermione holds tight, kissing her back. Harry considers whether this is new or if he's just been that bad at paying attention to what his friends have had going on these past weeks and months. He pays attention now. Hermione looks happy. He glances at Ron, who's smiling, not looking bothered in the slightest. He's fiercely glad all over again to have them, that despite not having a partner, he'll at least always have them. And then his stomach tightens, and his heart starts pounding, because Malfoy has entered the bar. He's once again dressed in skin-tight muggle wear, black jeans, and another damn crop top, showing off his shoulders, his muscled stomach, the line of golden hair leading into the waistband of his jeans. Harry's mouth dries up at the sight of him. Malfoy saunters over to the group, blows a kiss to Pansy, spares a smile for Hermione and a nod for Ron. He peers next at Harry.
"You look like shit, Potter," he delivers without preamble.
Then his expression turns assessing, one blonde eyebrow raising.
"The beard is kind of hot, though."
Harry feels warmth flow through him, his face heating. He doesn't know what to say. "Thanks," he finally manages. "I think." Malfoy grins at him.
"All right, what are we drinking tonight?"
He rubs his hands together, aims himself towards the bar without waiting to hear if anyone else wants a beverage. Harry and Ron follow behind, leaving Hermione to go back to kissing her girlfriend.
"Did you know about Miney?"
Harry asks, once they're waiting in line at the bar. Ron looks at him, bemused.
"Course, mate. That's why we broke up."
"Oh, shit. He's really been out of it then." "Do you mind?" he asks.
"Nah, just want her to be happy. Probably wouldn't have worked out between us anyway. She's much too smart for me," Ron confides good-naturedly.
It's Malfoy's turn at the bar. He orders a pint, then turns to look at Ron and Harry, eyebrows raised in question. Harry nods. "Yeah, thanks." Ron asks for a whiskey, says Hermione will want white wine. Malfoy places the order, adding a glass of wine for Pansy as well. Then he puts out his hand.
"Spot me, would you? I don't have anything on me."
Harry rolls his eyes, but digs into the pocket of his jeans and hands over a couple 20-pound notes. Once they're armed with drinks, they make their way back to the girls. Hermione and Pansy have snagged a table, curled up in each other. They beam up at Harry when he places the two glasses of chilled white wine in front of them. Harry takes a seat next to Hermione, and Malfoy sits next to Pansy on the other side. Out of chairs, Ron stays standing, stretching out his long legs as he leans against the wall. Harry takes a sip of his pint, mind reeling, ponders the new information about Miney. Maybe his friends won't mind if he lets them know. He might fancy blokes instead of girls. He's not sure what they'd say if he admits that the only bloke he's been thinking about is Malfoy, though. Then again, as he pulls himself from his musings, he notices that Ron and Malfoy are chatting at the other end of the table, that Hermione's listening and smiling at the both of them. Maybe Harry's the only one who minds that it's Malfoy. And maybe he doesn't actually mind it at all. When Malfoy gets up, saying he needs a slash, Harry gets up too. Ron takes Harry's seat, asking Hermione a question Harry can't hear. It's gotten loud in the bar. As he follows Malfoy towards the toilets in the back, Malfoy glances over his shoulder at Harry. His eyebrow twitches almost imperceptibly, a smirk sliding over his mouth. Harry sucks in a breath, finally having that new smirk directed at him for once. He smiles tentatively at Malfoy, takes in his handsome profile, his pale hair curving behind his ear. When did he get to be so beautiful? Malfoy pushes the men's room door open, Harry following close behind. There's a bloke at the urinals, pissing. He shakes himself off, zips up, leaves without washing his hands. Ew. Malfoy reaches past Harry to lock the loo door and crowds into his space, pewter eyes questioning.
This all right?
Yep, Harry says. It's all he can manage before he's pressed up against the wall, Malfoy's long fingers twisted in his t-shirt, Malfoy's mouth on his. It's unlike any first kiss he's ever experienced, all scraping teeth and stabbing tongues. In a way, it's similar to how they've sparred all their lives. Hard kisses like insults volleyed back and forth, tongues dueling like wands raised against each other. They both taste like the ale they've been drinking, a bit nutty, slightly sweet. Malfoy sucks Harry's bottom lip into his mouth and bites down. Harry bows into him, seeking something, more, anything really. He doesn't know what he wants, only that if he doesn't get his hands onto all that smooth, creamy skin, he might combust with need. "Can I touch you?" he whispers, panting.
"You are touching me, Potter."
Malfoy's mouth curves up, halfway to a smirk, but something else, too. "Harry. Call me Harry."
"All right, Harry."
Hearing his first name in that familiar posh drawl does something to Harry's insides. His hands move from where they've been gripping Malfoy's collar, down and over the sleek skin of his lower back, exposed by the short top. Lower still, tentative yet brave. He is a fucking Gryffindor, after all. He'll not shy away from this, now that he's admitted what he's after. Harry palms Malfoy's arse, squeezing and pulling him closer, flush up against his own body. He can feel the thick length of Malfoy's erection as it bumps against his own, painfully hard. Malfoy huffs out, surprised, his delighted smile growing wide.
"I didn't know you liked men, Potter."
"Harry," he corrects. "And I didn't either, not until recently." One eyebrow quirks up.
"Really now?"
Draco's grin turns feline.
"Have you done this before, Harry?"
Harry shakes his head. "No, but I've wanted to." He feels his cheeks heat, but stares back into those cool gray eyes, holding his ground. Then, "Draco," he tries out. Malfoy's first name feels weird in his mouth, somehow even weirder than having had his tongue in it just a minute ago.
"Ah, change of plans then. We'll not have your first time in this rank bathroom. Shall I take you home,
Draco leans forward to all but purr this last sentence directly into his ear. Then his tongue snakes out and licks the shell of it. Harry shudders, eyes closing.
"Yes." "Right, just let me tell Pansy I'm leaving."
Harry nods and they leave the loo, both adjusting themselves in their jeans. Fuck, it's really fucking sexy seeing Malfoy, Draco, affected like this. Harry did that. He feels satisfaction settle low in his belly, along with a potent anticipation of what's to come. They make their way back to the table.
"We're leaving,"
Draco announces. He angles his head in Harry's direction. Pansy grins, all teeth, leonine. Ron and Hermione's faces both betray their surprise, then they're smiling. Okay, good. He needn't have worried. He'd figured, but it feels really nice to have it confirmed. Harry follows Draco out of the bar. They round the corner, then Draco holds out his arm.
"Side along?"
Harry agrees by setting his hand atop Draco's pale skin. A quiet spell, then the odd sucking sensation in his belly as they're swirling through time and space. They land in a comfortably appointed living room. It's cheerful and bright, lit by softly burning stained glass lamps, a squashy-looking white love seat, and two leather armchairs facing each other over a plush Persian rug. "Are we at the manor?" Harry asks, confused.
"Gods, no. I never want to set foot in that awful place again."
Draco shudders. He toes off his shoes, waves one hand vaguely towards a chair.
Would you like to sit? A drink?
Harry considers. Nope, he says. Grins. He reaches out to lace his fingers with Draco's. Gods, calling him that still feels weird. Everything about this is strange, actually. Including the fact that it doesn't feel strange at all to be touching him, to have Draco's thumb stroking idly over his.
Shall we move to my bedroom?
Draco's voice is low, husky. Harry doesn't trust his own voice. He simply nods and follows Draco when he uses their linked hands to lead him down the hall to his room. Harry takes in the wide king-sized bed draped in soft white blankets, a mound of pillows, the lone lamp casting dappled light and shadow from a corner of the room. And then Draco is on him, hands in his hair, mouth attacking his, tongue forcing its way past his lips. A needy sound keens out of Harry, and he's momentarily mortified, but Draco groans and pushes him back and onto the mattress. He looks down at him with apparent interest all over his face.
Never thought I'd have you in my bed,
Draco muses, almost to himself.
Fuck, but I like the look of it.
Harry blushes. He's not sure he's ever heard Draco swear, and he likes it, the juxtaposition between the posh, cultured accent forming the profanity. Draco pulls off Harry's shoes and tosses them to the side, crawls up and lays his long body on top of him. Draco's taller, but their bodies line up perfectly before Draco's framing his face with slender fingers and taking his mouth again in a searing kiss. Harry can feel every part of Draco against him, his pleasant weight, the stiff cock mere inches from his own where it's pressing into his leg.
May I remove your glasses?
Draco asks, when they break apart. Harry's panting again. He nods at a loss for words. Draco carefully pulls them off his face, folds the arms, and sends them to the bedside table with a wandless charm. He strokes tender fingers over Harry's eyebrow, so close to the lightning bolt on his forehead. Harry tenses, wondering if Draco will touch his scar, but he doesn't. His fingertips ghost over Harry's eyelids as they flutter closed, losing himself in the surprising sensation of being caressed. When he came home with Draco, he didn't expect to be touched like this. Gentle, almost reverent. It's confusing, but then Draco is kissing him again, and Harry lets his thoughts fall away and simply kisses Draco back. They snog for what feels like forever, until Draco's lips and chin are whisker-burnt, until Harry is so hard he's aching. He hasn't let his hands wander because he's letting Draco lead the way, and he's so grateful when Draco finally peels Harry's t-shirt up and over his head, works his way out of his own top. Harry stares at the raised white scars peppered all over Draco's chest, brow furrowing.
Are those from... Don't, Draco cuts in. It doesn't matter.
It does, Harry wants to argue. I didn't know what the spell would do. He needs Draco to understand that.
It's fine, Draco says, face unreadable. I've made my peace with it. It doesn't hurt anymore, and I don't care how it looks. What I do care about is that I've got you here, under me. If you want to discuss it later, we can. But right now, I need to get my mouth on you. Leave it.
Harry nods. He'd stop to have this out if that's what Draco needed, but apparently it's the last thing he wants. Harry doesn't want to stop either. He sucks in a breath as Draco reaches to undo the first button of Harry's jeans, and suddenly Harry isn't thinking about anything except Draco's clever hands on him. Draco makes quick work of the button fly, and then a pleased sound low in his throat when he finds that Harry's gone commando. He shucks the jeans off quickly, pulling Harry's socks down with him, and now Harry's completely naked under Draco's hot, assessing gaze.
You're just as gorgeous as I imagined you'd be once I divested you of that hideous clothing.
Harry's stunned at the compliment veiled in the insult, but then Draco's nosing at the seam between his hip and his groin, gusting warm breath over his tightening balls, licking a stripe up his hard cock and suckling on the tip. Harry bucks up into his mouth, his hands rising to cradle Draco's head, his fingers threading into his hair, holding tight as Draco takes his cock deep into his throat. Jesus, Harry whines.
He's never heard his own voice like this. Draco stopped sucking.
No, just Draco, but you're welcome to worship me as such.
Then, thankfully, he takes Harry's cock back into his mouth again, with one long slurp. He works his lips and tongue over Harry's cock, kneading and pulling at his sack until Harry's writhing beneath him. The other hand travels behind Harry's balls, over the sensitive skin of his perineum, until he's pressing the tip of a finger against Harry's opening. Harry feels shock slice through him, not at the unfamiliar sensation, but at how much he wants Draco to push further.
Is this all right?
Draco has stopped again, looking up at him from his position between Harry's spread legs. Yeah, yes, Harry stutters.
Have you ever touched yourself here before?
Harry shakes his head, but feels his cheeks flush with heat. I've thought about it, he doesn't say. Thinking about you. Draco smiles, pats Harry's legs, moves them wider apart.
Hold your legs up for me.
What?
Trust me.
Draco pushes Harry's legs up, bending them at the knee, and Harry tucks a hand under each one, effectively holding himself open under Draco's gaze. He wants to be embarrassed, but finds he doesn't care at all. He's dying to know what Draco's going to do to him next. Draco settles himself between Harry's legs, spreads his cheeks with firm fingers, and leans down to flick the very tip of his tongue against Harry's entrance. Harry gasps, legs trembling. Draco does it again, this time flattening his tongue and licking him in a long line from his hole to his balls, and then again and again, until Harry is quivering under him, Draco's name a plea on his lips. Draco, Draco, fuck, Draco! And then Draco spears his tongue inside him, and Harry sees stars behind his clenched eyelids. He had no idea that it would feel like this. How did he never know that sex could feel like this? Draco pauses to mutter a wandless spell, and then Harry feels his fingertip, dripping with warm lubricant, rub against his opening. Draco drags the pad of his finger back and forth against the little pucker, then slowly pushes inside, past the tight ring of muscle, sinking in until it's all the way inside him.
All right?
Draco asks again. Harry doesn't understand. He expected a complete imbalance of power, for Draco to do whatever he wanted while insulting Harry at every turn. Draco still uses words like a weapon, but he also seeks Harry's consent at each step of the way. A new emotion rushes through Harry, tightening in the middle of his chest, but he doesn't examine it, not right now. He nods quickly, shifts his hips a bit to get used to the intrusion. Draco begins pumping his finger in and out until Harry's meeting him thrust for thrust, and then Draco withdraws to press in two fingers instead. Harry moans. He can't believe the way he sounds, but Draco seems to like it. A slight smile tips his lips before he's leaning down to capture Harry's mouth again. Harry sucks eagerly at his tongue, spreads his legs a bit wider to give Draco better access. Then he gasps as Draco's driving fingers find someplace deep within him, pleasure zinging through his body and curling his toes.
Yes,
Draco hisses into his mouth.
Can you take another?
Harry doesn't know what he can do, but he's fully given himself over to Draco now, and he'll do whatever he asks of him. He nods his assent. Draco pushes three fingers inside, and Harry's writhing as Draco hits that molten spot within him, again and again with deft precision.
Will you let me fuck you?
Draco asks, voice soft and serious, as if he's anxious for the answer. His gray eyes are so earnest. Where is the man who had sought to belittle and intimidate him for half their lives? All Harry sees now is genuine caring and blazing, focused regard. Harry starts. Swallows.
Yeah, okay.
Draco closes his eyes briefly, like he's grateful Harry said yes. Harry starts again. What's going on? Why are you suddenly being so nice? Draco blinks. His eyes are kind, in a way Harry has never seen them look at him, ever. He slips his fingers from inside him, waves a wandless cleaning charm as he considers.
Harry. Some people may like that sort of thing in the bedroom, but it's never been my style.
Oh, that makes sense, of course, but also, Draco was still speaking.
I didn't intend to tell you this, but given that you've asked, I've wanted you for a very long time. I just never thought, well, that you would want me, that you would want this.
Oh. How long have you known, then, that you're... Harry can't seem to stop talking when they should surely be doing other things.
Gay?
Since school. Probably even when I was very young.
And you?
Draco doesn't seem to mind the interlude. Just recently, as I said. Harry's not sure why admitting this feels so intimate. Maybe it's that he's laying naked and open while Draco is still half-clothed above him. Speaking of, can you take off the rest of your clothes? Harry asks. Then, more shyly, I want to see you, too.
I'll need to if I'm going to do what I intend to.
Draco laughs. He quickly removes his jeans and pants, and then he's as naked as Harry, and Harry can't stop staring. Draco is long and lean everywhere, even his cock, which is flushed pink and standing up straighter and straighter the longer Harry looks at it. The head is darker than the rest, almost red, the slit jeweled with a bead of precum. Harry thinks he'd like to get a taste of it and moves in order to reciprocate, but Draco pushes him back with one firm hand.
Well, I look forward to that another time. My mind is singularly focused at the moment.
Draco's mouth quirks, expression hungry. He presses into Harry's space, pushing him back against the bed once more. Harry's cock twitches as Draco slides his warm hands up the back of his spread thighs, hooking under his knees and spreading him wider. Another wandless charm has slick warmth flooding inside him, leaking down and over his balls. Harry didn't know before tonight that Draco could do wandless magic, and it's hot as fuck. Draco reaches down to take himself in hand and lines up with Harry's entrance.
Push out a bit with your muscles as I press in, he instructs, meeting Harry's eyes.
And then he's breaching him, pressing inside with a sure stroke until his pelvis is flush against Harry's.
All right.
Fuck, Harry swears. Yes. While he appreciates the courtesy, what he really, really wants is for Draco to get moving. He wriggles a bit, testing the feeling of being filled, and Draco moans. His hips jerk forward, and then he does it again, and they're both moaning. Draco releases Harry's knees, letting them fall to either side, then hitches them over the backs of his own thighs. He presses closer, one hand propping himself up next to Harry's ear, the other wrapping around the back of Harry's neck. And then he's surging in and taking Harry's mouth again, thrusting his tongue in tandem with his cock deep within Harry's arse. Harry loves the feeling of being filled everywhere he can be, loves the dual sensation of Draco's tongue stroking his own as he snaps his hips faster and faster, angling to hit the sweet spot inside Harry again and again. Harry's fully whimpering into Draco's mouth now, and then Draco is pulling on his hair, using his grip to hold Harry's head captive to devour his mouth, and Harry just lies back and takes all of it. Sweat drips from Draco's brow as he fucks him mercilessly, his long, damp hair falling over his shoulders and into Harry's face. It smells like costly potions, sweet and musky, or maybe that's Draco's skin pressed up so close to his own. Harry breathes in, and then suddenly he's flying, pleasure sparking as Draco slams inside him and hits that perfect place once more. Harry cries out, and Draco's calling his name, hoarse and worshipful.
Harry, Harry, Harry.
Then all is quiet, but for the sounds of them both catching their breath. Harry opens his eyes to stare up at Draco, held still atop him. He wants to capture the look on Draco's face, to hoard it close forever. He resembles a god of old, hair wild around his regal features, strong arms and shoulders flexing as he hovers over Harry. Yet his mouth is soft and smiling, and Harry wants to kiss him again, to drown himself in the splendor of kissing him, to never come up for air.
Merlin, did you just come completely untouched?
Fuck. Draco sounds very pleased, whether with himself or Harry. Harry isn't quite sure.
I'll have to keep you. I'm going to want to do that again. In fact, how do you take your coffee? You are most definitely staying over.
Harry sighs contentedly. Black. He sounds completely blissed out to his own ears,
can't remember the last time he felt so relaxed or so free. Draco gets up then, utters a soft spell to gently cleanse them both off. The feeling of Draco's magic washing over him feels intimate in an entirely new way, different from what they've just done together, but no less personal. As he holds back the soft duvet, Draco commands,
"I sleep on the left. You'll take the right."
But they don't stay to their respective sides. Draco folds Harry into his arms to hold him tight, guides his head to lay upon his chest. He traces whisper-soft fingertips over the skin of Harry's back, and Harry shivers, nestles closer in to inhale Draco's heady scent. Draco's breathing evens out almost at once. Harry lies awake for some time, savoring the feeling of being wrapped up in Draco, completely surrounded by his warm, solid weight. His mind wanders, thinking how bizarre it is that being with Draco feels so right. He never would have guessed that their antagonistic history would lead them here, and yet it makes a sort of perfect sense. What's more, he'd really like to keep Draco Malfoy for as long as he'll let him. Eyes drifting shut, Harry reflects that not having the future he expected no longer upsets him. Not if he gets to have this infuriating, amazing, delicious man. The thought of many more days and nights spent kissing and arguing and laughing and fucking, all the little things that make up their strange and miraculous relationship, has him excited for the first time in as long as he can remember. And isn't that the damnedest thing?